and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, your host, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And today we're going to be discussing one of those topics that everybody knows a little about, most people are keen to learn a lot about, and some people are working diligently in the field. And that is ICT, technology, communications, and information. I put it wrong. I put it a little backwards, but at the end of the day, it's these three main areas we'll be discussing today on Visions with the president of the Barbados ICT Association, Margaret Leon. Welcome to the program, Margaret.
Thank you for having me on the program. Yes, as you said, my name is Margaret Leon, and I am the current president of the Barbados Information Communication Technologies Professional Association.
So how do you become a member of the association, Margaret?
So we have various categories of membership. Mainly the association, as the name implies, it is designed to facilitate, sensitize anything related to information communication technologies. And as you can appreciate that the ICTs basically are enablers to any business activity that currently exists. So we have the varying categories where we seek to embrace anybody who is interested in being a member of the association. So firstly, we have the corporate membership. The corporate membership is available to any entity where the subscription at this point in time is $500, and that would cover four representatives from the organization that would be seeking membership. Then we have professional members. The subscription at this point in time is $75. And the word professional implies that you are functioning actively in the area of ICTs in one way or the other. We would have initially been focusing on persons who are certified in the area. That is, you have your first degree in some area as it relates to computer science. We have since broadened the spectrum to embrace persons who might be otherwise working within an industry and the core business is dealing with ICT. So case in point, you can look at vendors whose main role is supplying the technological equipment. And so despite the fact your degree might be in management or something, when we look at your core functions, that is an area where we could also accept membership. We have the student membership. We don't have many student members, but we have student membership. The current rate is $10. We need to do some work in that area to encourage persons who would be a student. So you're aspiring to follow in and have a profession in dealing with the information communication technology. So we also embrace such students.
Okay, Margaret, we often hear the acronym ICTs. Break it down for us so that the average child and adult can understand what ICT means in this world.
Okay. ICT, the acronym, it stands for Information Communication Technology. Currently, coming out of COVID, or I should say, existing within COVID, would have more or less become more dependent on the internet. And invariably, the internet is driven by the information communication technologies. The internet in itself is one of the largest networks that exists. And within this network called the internet, we have myriads of communication facilities. And coming out of those communication facilities, the technologies that are provided there, coming out of that, there is information that is flowing from one area to another. And invariably, we also capture a lot of data that allow us to develop the internet further. So we usually have that conundrum between data and information, but the information being the finished product and data being the compilation of the various bits of communication that goes back and forth between the person sending the data and receiving the data. Hence, information communication technologies.
Right, right. Okay. Now, recently, Margaret, BIPA hosted a series examining ICTs and how this impacts or can be utilized by persons with disabilities. Share a little about this.
So the association, in its various activities during COVID, we were not as active as we would have liked to have been. The professionals, as it were, that are in the industry would have been called upon more so to assist in developing websites, in maintaining networks, the whole spectrum of things that go along with the communication technologies. And so we saw it prudent as the year rolled over into 2022 to work to interact more
with constituents in and outside of the ICT industry to sensitize persons on the continuous developments in ICTs, noting that more and more requirements for business and financial transactions are being completed online. So in January of this year, 2022, BIPA had a conversation on the metaverse. This was in the form of a panel discussion. This panel discussion was ably facilitated by Jeremy Stephen, a former president of the Barbados Economic Society, Stephen Williams, a former president of the Barbados ICT Professionals Association, and Chris Darrell Jr., the head of web development at Adtelligent out of Jamaica. The moderator for that panel discussion was Dwayne Henry of the Barbados ICT Professionals Association, the current vice president. The conversation was a riveting one that was well received by those in attendance, and that conversation continues via a focus group. Following on in February, we would have had a webinar which ran for the four Mondays of February, and this was again ably facilitated by Hallam Hope, and he was ably assisted by Kevin Small and Issa Wendt. So here the conversation was on cryptocurrencies, where the presenters shared on the types of cryptocurrencies there are, the more popular ones that there are, because there are many cryptocurrencies out there. And in speaking about cryptocurrencies, the technologies and concepts that go along with these cryptocurrencies, notably trading, gamify NFTs, otherwise non-fungible tokens, mainly facilitated by the creatives in that industry. So here again, the association continues the conversation via a focus group. Following on in March, the month of the disabled, the association needed to include all persons in the community, hence the theme, digital access for the disabled.
Why digital access for the disabled? Because we understand that persons, irrespective of your ability to function, self-sufficiency is definitely key. So where at all possible, and somebody who might have whatever limitations might exist in their space, we seek to assist, and in assisting, we seek to identify the information communication technologies that would assist in this self-sufficiency. So hence the digital access for the disabled during the month of March.
Okay, so share with us some of the areas that were in focus.
In sharing on areas in focus, allow me to go from the beginning. During December of 2021, I would have received a call from Dr. Colin Depardieu with a suggestion that the Barbados IT Professionals Association could have a conversation on ICT and the disabled, hence the birth of the work that was done in March under the theme Digital Access for the Disabled. The Barbados ICT Professionals Association, in partnership with the Faculty of Computer Science, Mathematics, and Physics at the University of the West Indies, Cave Hill, then would have worked to realize the webinar series that took place during the Mondays that fell in March. On the first Monday, we would have had some opening sessions where Dr. Colin Depardieu, senior lecturer and former dean of the faculty, would have shared on what is digital accessibility, accessible websites and software, why is this digital access for the disabled needed, and the related benefits that could be derived there. Following, we would have had submissions from Dr. Michelle Gittins, also a senior lecturer and head of department in the faculty and present chair of the Campus IT Steering Committee, where Dr. Gittins would have shared on the work that the university is currently doing as it relates to facilitating the students with disabilities enrolled at the campus, and also generally speaking on related research that is taking place at the university. And of course, following on, Ms. Wickham Ashby, we would have had your presentation from the Barbados National Organization for the Disabled, which you had, and that message was well received as you represented the disabled community, followed by Ms. Carrie-Anne Eiffel, the current president of the Barbados Council for the Disabled, who spoke on digital access in the classroom. Overall, we would have shared that the technologies as it relates to facilitating the disabled is relatively expensive, and there were related conversations which were taking place, and the expectation is that these conversations would continue to assist the disabled. The following Monday, we would have had a panel discussion under the title Evaluating Technology Regarding Digital Access for the Disabled. This panel discussion was moderated by Dr. Colin Depardieu, and panelists were Khalid Holder of the University of the West Indies, who facilitates the needs of the disabled students at the university, along with Sharon Trotman, another panelist. She would have represented the Barbados Coalition of Service Industries, the IT Professionals Association's parent entity, and Ms. Sharon Trotman, a multiple sclerosis sufferer. She would have spoken on the aspect of the disabled working from home and the challenges that she would have faced despite being able to use the technologies with the problem of multiple sclerosis. And last but not least, our final panelist would have been Mr. Piero Holloway, who is a visually challenged computer maintenance technician. And the conversation here as it relates to evaluating the technology and the types of technologies that can be utilized by the disabled. Following that, the following Monday, March the 21st, the Small Business Association was represented under the same theme, Digital Access for the Disabled in Business. And Dr. Erica Smith, the Chief Executive Officer of the Copyright Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, COSCAP, would have represented the Small Business Association. Dr. Smith would have given a presentation under the heading Enhancing Digital Access for an Improved Quality of Life, where she highlighted the June 2013 Marrakesh Treaty, which speaks to facilitating access to published works for persons who are blind, visually impaired, or otherwise print disabled. So what is print disabled? This term is identified to be that disability that makes it difficult or impossible for an individual to access standard text. Print disabilities include blindness or visual impairment, physical disabilities that make it hard to hold a book or a severe learning disability that makes it difficult for one to process written text. Following on from Dr. Smith's presentation was Desiree Jordan of the University of the West Indies, having been supervised by Dr. Ramon Sargent. This presentation given by Ms. Jordan would have been under the title A Low-Cost Braille Device for the Visually Challenged. And this device is one that we would hope in the future would be developed upon to assist the visually impaired. Then finally, on March the 28th, we look still at digital access for the disabled by looking at assistive technologies. Mr. Evrico Innes, he gave a presentation under the title Development of an Exoskeleton to Assist with Arm Mobility. Mr. Evrico Innes would have been supervised by Dr. Adrian Als. And this assistive technology project would have been developed within the University of the West Indies, Cave Hill, and it spoke to cross-faculty research facilitated by the use of ICTs. Hence, the concept of digital access for the disabled was delivered during the month of March. The association, in its purview, continues to have the conversation, and we are working to continue to sensitize persons that those persons who are disabled, it is not that they are unable to function, but with the use of the technologies, the disabled person is able to function competently in the space.
I think this is really exciting, though, to have two young people designing and really building technologies that will be beneficial to persons with disabilities, because the Braille display certainly will help those who are blind and visually impaired or who may be blind and deaf to utilize the Braille display on their devices and still be able to communicate efficiently and effectively with whom they're talking with, you know? So yes. I think this is truly exciting, and to see it coming out of the Caribbean is fantastic. And then with Enrico designing the skeletal device that will allow persons who have dexterity or mobility complications with their hands to have this device now that can ably assist them, it is showing the competencies and the dedicated work that is being done by our young people. And of course, we can't leave out the lecturers, because they would be the ones to help guide them and work with them in making sure that these products are, you know, functional.
Yes.
So
yes.
I think that is fantastic. And as you're saying, we are seeing how the information, the communication, and the technologies are working in harmony for the benefit of a particular grouping.
Yes, please. So the work that would be put out by the university, we were very pleased to share that with the audience. And likewise, the audience did appreciate the work that was being done. At this point in time, we are hoping to take that work as it relates to the disabled, digital access for the disabled, because we know that the government at this point in time is working on its digitization program. And through that digitization program, include citizens where the average person would be able to access their business electronically. Not only would the persons who are able-bodied being facilitated, but those with challenges, whether the challenges are visual challenges, hearing challenges, and so on, we would want to also have this all-inclusive process going forward.
But this is part of our world right now, so it's important that, you know, everybody is included, and I certainly appreciate the effort that BIPA is making to not only ensure it takes place, but be a part of the process to oversee some of the necessary changes taking place in this sector. I know that we have a pretty important date coming up as well on April the 28th. Tell us about this date and what it represents.
Okay. On the 28th of April, which incidentally is our Heroes Day, a bank holiday, we celebrate across the globe Girls in ICT Day. And this being a United Nations initiative, myself, along with a number of persons across Barbados, would have taken it upon themselves to acknowledge this day and in so doing carry out various activities where persons are made aware of the contributions that females, be it a girl or an adult, what contributions these females make to Barbados and the wider diaspora. So the Girls in IT Day basically allows persons to acknowledge that females too, despite it might be seen to be a role where men generally dominate, that females too can function competently alongside their male counterparts. During our face-to-face sessions prior to COVID, the Barbados IT Professionals Association, we would have continued to work with the primary school girls, more so the 9 to 10 age group, that would be the class 3 girls. So it followed the format of working with these girls, having females in the industry present to these girls and sharing with them, females working in the information communication technologies industry, and having these females share with the little girls, letting them see that they too would have been sitting in the same desks that these little girls are now sitting in. And This is what they have been able to achieve, having taken the information communication technologies as a career.
I think this is so important because sometimes as children, not seeing that mentor, that role model there to encourage and inspire us, our career paths, our interests may be diverted. So I think at this juncture is extremely important for young girls, young women to see other females in the ICTs industry. And even venture to say, we need to also see some of our young women with disabilities who are into this sector as well. Because sometimes when I read information outside of the Caribbean, we're reading about so many men and women with varying disabilities who are in the industry as programmers, as compliance advisors, and you know, developing so many apps and programs and content and everything else. So that is an area I want to see build up in Barbados, particularly amongst our young people.
Hence the sensitization programs that the IT Professional Association continues to work to promote. So there's so many things that the association would want to do.
And I'm looking forward to seeing some of these events and activities taking place. You know, sometimes it takes a little while to get a number of the things happening, but it will be done.
Yes. The work that we do, though, with the children, with the girls, it does bring a lot of reward because we are able to share and have the children communicate about different things. This year, the theme for the day is access and safety. And we saw it really fitting in that we would have had digital access for the disabled, and now following on into April to look at access and safety. So we will not be able by the 28th have as elaborate an event as we would have liked to, but what we are hoping to do by the 28th is to be able to at least have a conversation on access and safety and have the children who might be otherwise have some kind of a limitation.
Right.
Whether it be visual, whether it be
physical,
that they have
hearing,
a learning deficiency or whatever. But we do appreciate that with the exposure, the average parent would want to know that their child is part of the activity. And as such, I believe they might have devices.
Mm-hmm.
They might be accessing the internet. And, you know, before where a child might not have been exposed to the internet without the requisite protocols and so on, you might find that children might be exposed inadvertently to information that they should not otherwise be exposed to. It could be information or it could be people. And so in talking about access and safety, we would want to highlight these things for that time. So it is very likely that by the 29th, because the 28th being a bank holiday, that we should be able to have that conversation with the children.
Great. I would want to encourage that part of the message is that the young girls need to be very determined. Only recently I was watching Hidden Treasures, which is a movie about the real life experiences of four Black women who were pioneers in the whole area of ICTs as well back in the 1950s in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And they were very critical to the launch of the rocket that went into space. So, you know, there's so much that can be achieved by encouraging our young girls, our young people to get involved in this industry, but they must be determined to achieve their goals.
Yes, please. Because, you know, nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
Yes.
And so often when you look at the end product, the appreciation for what would have gone into arriving at that end product might otherwise be lost in between there. But the thing is that in honing the different skills that our children might have, they might have a natural knack interacting with the devices and so on. So that is something that we would want to encourage, because many times when we have the conversations with children, we find that they understand the technology and they can speak the language of the technology. So we want to highlight the fact that it's a child that might have some limitation in their physical body does not necessarily inhibit or stop them from, without hard work, achieving, you know.
Right. Now, Margaret, when we talk about safety, there's another aspect of safety that I would want you to speak to. Yes, you mentioned this safety on the internet itself, you know, avoiding predators, avoiding websites and other information that will be detrimental to the young child. But I also want you to address the safety aspect of the child, you know, sitting on the tablet or the laptop or desktop or whatever the device is for so many hours. How will that impact the vision and the hands and the body and general health?
Yes, most definitely. So these are things that we, because you can appreciate that a child with some limitation, some disability, it would be expected that they would have an adult assisting them along the way. So we would also, in addition to speaking to the child, we would also want to have the conversation where the adult, be it a parent or a guardian in that child's life, to be available for the conversation. So those things are things that we too would want to address, because here we are talking about digital access and safety, but the health aspect associated with interacting with these children is definitely impacted. So because a child has a limitation, a disability, we would not want that child to be stuck in a house interacting with a device because they have some limitation. If they can get out in the sun, they can move about. We would want to encourage that as well. So these things are things that we would also be looking to include in our conversation.
Okay, so Margaret, as we get ready to wrap up the program, What are some of the final thoughts you would want to share with us in terms of the association and your projections? And generally, just speak to Barbados in terms of ICTs.
So right now, the world over, we know that the information communication technologies basically is keeping us together. The activities that are happening in Russia, in Ukraine, in China, the Olympics, all of these things, because of the technologies, we see them in split seconds. And wherever possible, the word is that you are encouraged to sensitize yourself, get information. We're now talking about the metaverse, which even to persons in the information communication technologies arena, the metaverse is also a new concept when talking about technologies, cryptocurrencies. What are cryptocurrencies? We're hearing persons telling us that, you know, do more online transactions and so on. But the reality is that some persons might very well not quite understand how you go about doing it. So the association is here at this time with a limited thrust, but nonetheless still in the space, trying to speak to that as the government rolls out its various digital platforms. The reality is that understanding how you will use these platforms is very important. So that is one of the things that we would want to leave with listeners, and it goes hand in hand. So right now, in another space, the Community Development Technology Program is also there to assist persons as well. So programs like these, I'm not using the word free because we all pay taxes, but these are programs that would assist persons in better understanding the technologies and be able to manipulate the spaces should they have to interact in there.
Great. Well, Margaret, it certainly has been a pleasure chatting with you and learning a bit more about the Barbados ICTs Professional Association, as well as some of the work you've been doing and projecting to do, as well as gaining an insight into some of the technological developments that are taking place through our University of the West Indies Cape Hill campus and your association. So thank you very much for coming and sharing with us today.
Thank you. And we do appreciate you having us on the program anytime. We are working to assist and serve our population.
We certainly appreciate that, Margaret. Thanks again. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham-Ashby, and my special guest today, Margaret Leon from the Barbados ICTs Professional Association. Remember, you can reach out to me on WhatsApp by dialing 1-246-269-9660 or via STARCOM on 1-246-430-7300 by email visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And of course, you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website and search for the Visions program. So until next week, do take excellent care of yourself, love yourself, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao.